Welcome to the Crypto Witch Club podcast, a space for all to learn about blockchain tech. Join us as we demystify NFTs, report on crypto culture, and navigate Web3.
This week on the Crypto Witch Club podcast, we discuss if DAOs are the new timeshare and how to do your own research. See how many Web3 vocabulary words you know and join us as we take a peek at new launches like Coinbase's NFT platform and the Bored Ape Metaverse. Finally, we're sharing five more crypto resources you need to know now, like the TLDR newsletter and Lolly. Enjoy.
I feel like a lot happened this week.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, well we had the Metaverse land launch from Bored Ape Yacht Club.
Okay.
And that was big.
Okay, tell me about it because I missed that.
So Bored Ape Yacht Club, like you know how they created a coin recently. So now they're delving into the metaverse. So they're selling units of land the same way Decentraland is or other platforms.
Okay.
So people are really stoked about that. I think they started around like 6K.
Okay.
So people are starting to build on that metaverse.
Cool. So we'll be hearing about like Justin Bieber DJing in, what do they call it? The Bored Ape Metaverse. Is there like a new name for it? Vapeland?
It might be Apeland.
Apeland?
Actually. I think it's just Bored Ape Metaverse.
It's too long. They need to shorten it.
Bam.
Bam.
Bored Ape Metaverse.
Ah.
That's how they should do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they should.
Okay. Copyright. BAM would be so much cooler.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's the Bored Ape Metaverse.
Okay, cool.
And I think it's interesting. I saw this question posed on Twitter. I almost said Tinder. I saw this question posed on Twitter where it said, is land in the metaverse really scarce if we can just create new platforms and build more land?
Mm, true.
Because the scarcity is really only determined by platform. So it's kind of an interesting thought because there's really no clear leader in that space yet.
Interesting.
Right?
Yes.
So there's 55,000 plots of virtual land total. And like the theory, I think they crashed Ethereum. Like the gas fees were crazy.
Okay.
Everything spiked. But yeah, so essentially we'll see what happens because right now they'll be hitting the secondary market and we'll see if people are paying more for them, if people are paying less for them off the bat.
Okay.
It's not necessarily an indication of like how much it could be worth later. Mm-hmm. You know, NFT prices fluctuate, but
how did the coin do?
I believe it dipped like after it launched, but I think the thing with Bored Ape Yacht Club that I find so like interesting and kind of like, not to be cheesy, but like inspiring is 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this company was worth nothing. And now it's a $1 billion Web3 company.
Yeah.
And it just shows how far you can grow and what you can make. And like, not to sound cliche, but how early we are. Because I think I forget that we're early to this space because we're so in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, oh, everybody's kind of chatting about it. And I feel like, you know, people in New York hear about it often because we have a lot of conferences and things like that. And, you know, the tech sphere. But we are still early and I forget.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. When I travel, I feel like I don't think New York, like people in New York are specifically more into it. Maybe it's just our circle in New York is more into it. But like when I travel, people seem to be like, it is truly a global thing. Like there are people into it like around too.
Yeah, true. it's cool because even like when you were just in like the UK, there was somebody who was working in Web3 who you mm-hmm. ran into. And I yeah. think it's really exciting to see everybody, you know, getting into it. Cause I feel like 5 years ago, it was so niche still.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like you see a lot more jobs
totally
just there. And I think the cool thing about Web3 is like, you can translate really any Web2 job to Web3 job.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Web3, you still need lawyers, you need designers, you need coders, you need marketers. Like whatever your role is, like if you are interested in Web3, you can fulfill a role there.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, it's been fun looking at like job boards in Web3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It's definitely going to change the way people work, I think.
I like to peruse my Twitter during this time when we're recording podcasts
mm-hmm.
for little things. And I just ran across this thing. It says, "We're buying a goddamn manor together." And it's called Manor DAO, a pool suite endeavor.
Oh, pool suite. Is that mm-hmm. sunscreen NFT radio brand?
Yes.
This sounds like it's right up your alley because you've been wanting to buy like a dilapidated manor and restore it for a while.
Yeah. I think it's cool that you can do it with people.
Totally. I think it's cool because this is really the next evolution of like pool suite. Because before they were doing like the radio, the content.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had that retro cool feel to them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be in a manor DAO.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's learn more for sure.
Okay. Make a note.
Yeah. We need to do
we'll follow up, folks. We'll circle back on that.
Actually, when I get back from my honeymoon, we should do a DAO rundown. Like each of us pick three DAOs
okay.
we're super into, and then we'll talk about them.
Okay.
They'll be cool. Our like homework when we're away from each other.
Okay, cool.
Did you see the Coinbase NFT channel went into beta?
I saw. Tell me more about it because I don't know much about it.
So
is it a marketplace?
It's a marketplace, okay. But the way it's set up, people are calling it like the Instagram of Web3. And
okay.
to me, I was like, oh yes, I love that. Like I love Instagram, cool. But people can essentially like follow each other. They can comment. There's like trending NFTs. There's a discovery feed. So some people are like, this is so great. Coinbase is so used for beginners. And I think it's really like that exchange where it's like the first exchange you go to, at least in the US, you know, it's the one you've heard of probably if you're, you know, just learning about crypto. So I think it's so great for visibility. But, you know, I wonder if people will just tend to keep their NFTs really native to the Coinbase platform, you know what I mean, and not move them around or actually hold them in self-custody.
Like you think Coinbase might be, like, blurring the lines of what decentralized really means?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I kind of feel like, I love the way it's set up where you can follow creators, you can follow different projects. It really is a social network, but it's not really Web3. They're just kind of taking on like some Web3 actions, you know?
Okay. They're facilitating some Web3 things.
Yeah. I mean, so you could buy something on the Coinbase NFT platform,
yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people who do it probably won't
move
transfer
it you could put it in your Coinbase wallet, probably.
Yeah.
If you have one of those.
Yeah. I mean, you'll need a wallet for sure.
How do you feel about the Coinbase wallet? Because that's separate from Coinbase.
Yes. So there's the Coinbase exchange, which is where
yeah.
you buy and sell.
And
there's
stake some things.
And you can stake,
mm-hmm.
totally. In like a very like entry level, easy to understand way, which is
yeah.
great. And then there's the Coinbase wallet, which is a separate app. It's a hot wallet, which means it's connected to the internet,
mm-hmm.
and that's self-custody.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's good for beginners. I think it holds a lot of different coins.
Okay.
And I think it's fine.
Okay. Is it the Coinbase NFTs running on the ETH network?
Yeah. So the stuff running on Coinbase is the same stuff you'll see as OpenSea.
Okay.
So for example, if like Paris Hilton launches a collection,
yeah,
you'll see it on both markets. So I don't think it's going to take like a market share away from OpenSea. I think OpenSea will still be like the dominant NFT space, but Coinbase is trying to compete with OpenSea. So I'm not against it.
I get it. I think it's also like they're just trying to make more things that people can buy and put in their wallets.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm not against it. It's just like another like big player moving into the space and trying to get market share.
Exciting.
I think it's exciting because it can onboard new people. I just hope people who get onboarded explore the space more in depth and they don't just stay with their Coinbase umbrella, like in their Coinbase umbrella.
Okay, got it.
Because I think the cool thing about OpenSea is like it's so accessible and it makes you kind of venture into the ecosystem a little more.
Okay.
But I mean, that's just that's just like a personal thing, you know. Okay. That's just me being like, explore more to people.
Yeah, you want more. You want more for everyone.
Yeah, totally.
And it's good to have your crypto in like multiple different exchanges and across different platforms, so that you're really like maximizing your investment, right?
Yeah. And also just keeping it safe.
Yeah.
So if somebody like something happens to one of my things, and I don't even want to say hack, because the realistic thing I would do is like lose my seed phrase. It's just more realistic for who I am. But if something happens to something, it doesn't happen to my whole portfolio. Right. As I talked about in the last episode, my Binance fail, where I didn't move all my money out and lost access. So that's in episode 5. Listen to my pain so you don't repeat it. But I'm going to actually get into this Coinbase NFT marketplace and see how I like it, because I love Instagram. So I might love this too. Maybe I'll be able to discover new collections and new things I haven't known
about. Do you think we should consider putting my art NFTs there instead of like on a Polygon or Solana network?
Like, I'm conflicted. So I think, like, because right now we're talking about like your NFTs for like your That's Bogus business, and then we are also talking about NFTs for Crypto Witch Club. We have been. So I think in an ideal world for both of them, I would say let's run it on Solana, because people, like, if let's say you're selling a piece for $100 and someone just has to pay another $200 in gas fee, like, I'd rather them buy 2 or 3 pieces and gift one. So like, I love the idea of doing it because the gas fees are so low. It's so accessible in that financial aspect, but it's not accessible for beginners and people in another aspect, because then we have to teach people how to move their crypto and bridge it to that network, and how it's just a new education thing. So I think it goes back to like we have to educate to do it right, because it just requires more education.
Yeah. It's like a little bit more work to do it for less money.
Yeah. But it's like, we can save people a few $100 in gas fees. I think it's worth it. But TBD. I mean, I really think it'd be exciting to run in Solana, and I think that's the one I'm gearing towards over Polygon.
Okay.
I think a lot of NFTs are going to be built in Solana, and I think like we'll get there early. And I think it's going to build up, because the Ethereum gas wars can only go on so long.
Didn't Melania Trump put her NFT on Solana?
I have no idea. But I mean, it would be a good move, because Solana it's a good network to run on.
Yeah.
So, you know, if she did, good for her.
Yeah.
I feel like, I feel like there's a shift.
Okay, so we have to find sexy marketplaces for Solana.
Yes. And I think what I want to do is, so Caitlin and I have created an NFT collection before, because obviously we're not going to teach you how to do something if we've never done it ourselves. So when we built our NFT collection, we published it to OpenSea, to a secondary marketplace. And then we also messed around publishing it on a different type of token, a Rarible.
Oh, yeah.
Rarible, was that it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if for like a Crypto Witch Club one, I would want people to be able to mint it directly from our website.
Mm-hmm. So Squarespace needs to get on that.
Yeah, they do. Please, Squarespace, add some Web3 functionality, get some apps in there. So last week we finished writing NFT, our new NFT guide, mm-hmm. for our Web3 for Witches series. I'm so excited. We have an amazing, amazing resource list in there. And I realized as I was building this list, I had these great apps and extensions available for Shopify and for WordPress and WooCommerce. Not one for Squarespace. And we use Squarespace at Crypto Witch Club. So I was like, oh, let me get on this. Let me make sure, you know, we're representing all the major players. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one for Magento even on there, which is a really more of an enterprise backend for a website. But so I'm Googling, trying to find the best Squarespace apps to use. And there's literally nothing. All there is people complaining that there's no Squarespace Web3 functionality. So that's my, I think for us launching NFTs right now, I'm like, shoot, well, I hope Squarespace comes out with it soon. Or are we going to have a separate portal then goes to our NFT platform on Shopify?
Yeah. Separate landing page.
Yeah, like it's like nfts.cryptowitch.io.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we'd have to do. But it just makes me nervous because I don't want people to be like, is this fake? Is this real? You know what I mean? I want to seem really secure and safe. So
TBD, we're still working on it, folks.
Yeah, it's a new adventure. It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I definitely learned a lot when I was doing the NFT guide. And it reminded me of like what you were saying in the last episode, where it's like microeducation is the new way.
Yes, I really think so. Like, especially student loan debt, all the masterclass programs popping up, getting really huge during the pandemic. And now we have people reaching out to us, wanting us to host workshops on their channels. I think it's just like a huge thing for the future. Like,
totally.
I also think this degree thing we have, that like you have to get a degree, sort of promotes that, like that learning stops after you get your education, after you get your degree. And it doesn't.
No, I think that's so true. And like, we were definitely brought up in a society where it's like, you work hard, you get good grades, you go to a good college, and then you make money.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go to college nowadays, and there aren't a lot of high paying jobs. You know, the wages you get when you get out of college are just less, because in our parents' generation, very few people went to college and meant more.
Mm-hmm.
Not very few, but less. But then it goes into like exactly what you're saying, like the financial obligation. Like, you can buy a master class for $200 and get some of the same education you can get in certain classes.
Yeah. And then you can like be an entrepreneur and innovate and start your own business.
Totally. I think there's such a different, like, it's like a different type of IQ level almost, where it's like we have like the IQ that's about like learning and being well-rounded and like that part of us. But then there's like the IQ of how to create a business, and like they don't always translate. Like, some people are so successful in a traditional school system, and then some people can implement successful systems in life, and they don't need to be successful in that traditional school system.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's necessary for a success in life, especially because we have the school of Google.
Yeah, well, and I think like, since so many industries are innovating, you can really innovate away from that requirement of a degree.
Yeah, I heard them. Google and some big places were dropping some degree requirements, because you can find really qualified, talented candidates just because they didn't go to college or couldn't afford to go to college doesn't mean that they're less skilled.
Mm-hmm.
A coder is a coder. And like, a good front-end developer is like, who cares where they went? They can do the job.
Yeah. Well, I think like some people care and some people don't.
That's true.
And so I think like, since people are innovating, and I think I see a shift, a tide, and the education sector.
Yeah, you know what I love too, and I didn't really realize how powerful this was until we started Crypto Witch Club, is the amount of women on Twitter and on Instagram that are educating about finance.
Yes.
Just like traditional finance even, like mm-hmm. Girls That Invest or Broke Black Girl or Missed Out Jones, like mm-hmm. literally teaching people the stuff they didn't teach us in school.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, let's learn how to do taxes and invest in school, like in our home ec. Like, let's swap some stuff around.
I wish we had.
Absolutely. Like, it's kind of funny. Like, my parents taught me about, like, compound interest and, like, the importance of savings. Yeah. But they had different, like, my parents, when I was, like, little, weren't super wealthy. So they were all about saving and saving and saving. I wish I had learned more about, like, investing. Like the how important compound interest is. Like, I wish when I got, like, money when I was 18, I put $1,000 into an index fund.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hindsight's 2020, so. But, yeah, I wish I had learned more about that. You know, I was in the stock market club in the fifth grade.
Oh, my God. Cool.
Yeah, I was such a dope. Because they were like, what? You should diversify. I mean, I was in fifth grade. But, like,
you mean to yourself.
I know. I was so young, though, because, like, I was like, I'm going to put all my fake stock money into GE because my dad worked there.
Yeah.
My dad's like, you should put into some other companies. And I was like, no, I'm going to do it in this one, put all my money in this one. And then it, like, declined. But, yeah, it was fun. We all competed against each other to see who could, like, earn the most in the stock market in, like, 2 months.
Cool.
Yeah. I wish I had.
So you learned a lot.
I did. I wish I had, actually, I guess I did hold on to that knowledge because I'm very well diversified now.
See, there you go.
Learnings. Mm-hmm. I love how you reframe that. This is why we're a good pair. Speaking
of learning, don't we have some vocab words we can go over here?
Yes.
Okay, there's, you send me a list.
Yeah, there's so much jargon and gatekeeping and, like, confusing slang in Web3 and crypto. So we're going to kick off a quick pop quiz. Or not pop quiz, I guess, a vocab lesson.
Okay, so what is BTD or BTFD?
Okay.
I've never heard of it.
It's buy the dip
or
buy the fucking dip.
Okay.
And it essentially is, it's a great acronym, I guess, because I mean, it's true. When you see stocks or the crypto market go down, you want to purchase them when they're on a dip. It's a sale. So buy the dip.
Got it.
Yeah.
Next one is
Deegan. So Deegan is short for degenerate.
Okay.
So it's a little bit, what's it called when you're mean to yourself?
Self-deprecating.
It's a little self-deprecating, but it's meant to be like a term of endearment for people in the Web3 world, because, like, the idea is, like, you're spending all your money in JPEGs and your mom's like, you're such a degenerate. So it's like a word of endearment for people in Web3. Like, oh, I'm the degenerate of the family. Like, I'm in Web3.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. You will notice it in a lot of, like, NFT project titles on Twitter now.
Now that you, yeah, I bet I will see it. Okay, so dApp.
A dApp is a decentralized app. So if there's an application that runs on blockchain, that's a dApp.
Okay, but Coinbase isn't a dApp.
Right, Coinbase isn't a dApp because it's centralized as a centralized thing. But something...
What's an example of a dApp?
Like if you have a treasury tool and a DAO, that's a dApp.
Ah.
So when you're like, oh, we need a system so we can split our treasury funds in this collective group, that there would be a DAP to help run that treasury.
So like if I rented out my manor house to
there'd be like
to some rapper to like film a music video and we earned some money for our treasury, we could split it up. We could pay ourselves out.
Exactly.
With a DAP.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Cool. I'm just thinking about like what the manor house can be used for.
So Caitlin got me into this show. Then it's called, like, what's it called? Manor and Castle.
Oh, Escape to the Chateau.
Escape to the Chateau. And it's so good. It follows this British couple, Dick and Angel, and their cute little family as they like restore this beat up chateau. Like when they get it, it doesn't have like running water. It doesn't have electricity. Like, but it's so cute. She's creative and he's an electrician and a chef, an engineer and a chef and a professional apiarist. He's just like the man, jack of all trades.
It's an apiarist.
It's like a beekeeper.
Oh, yeah.
Because every episode, there's something new he's doing. But I know that's where your manor dreams are stemming from. I know you're thinking probably about the parties you can host at your Dow Manor.
My DIY COVID TV show hole I went in.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a good show, though.
Okay. How about Diamond Hands, Paper Hands?
Diamond hands means you know how to hold. So you invest and you don't get like stressed out about it. You're not buying, you're not rushing to panic sell.
I have diamond hands.
You have the most solid diamond hands, especially considering how far your Tesla investment has come.
Yeah,
Caitlin literally forgot about socks she owned the other day. And that is like pro diamond hands. Like, I mean, if you are sitting on your investment so securely, you almost forget you have it.
Yep.
Win. Paper hands are the opposite. You're like flighty. You're panicking when it dips. You're buying when it goes up. You're just all over the place. You're paper hands. I love paper hands. I think diamond hands is a little cheesy to say, but I think paper hands is so funny.
It just makes me think of like the sound that paper hands would make. You know, it's like.
Yeah, no, totally. It's just like just flailing. So funny.
Okay. Oh, hold. Or yeah. H-O-D-L. Hold on for dear life.
Yes. So hold on for dear life, aside from being one of our favorite apps to use, so it has a funny story. This acronym was created when somebody on a forum in like, I think it was really early on, I think it was like 2013 or 2014, they misspelled the word hold. They meant to be like, oh my God, hold. But they were, you know, it was a late night and they misspelled it and it was all caps. So people just started saying it and it turned onto an acronym for hold on for dear life, like hold on to your crypto. But I love that it just came from this forum. I want to know the person behind this who accidentally started this.
Maybe we can have him on the podcast as a guest someday.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, what is DYOR?
Do your own research.
Ah.
And we have a whole guide for this on our blog, like what to look for when you're looking to purchase a crypto project. And it's super important to do your research. Like, yeah, you can read what's in the news. Sure, you can listen to what people say on Twitter, but you need to read the white papers. You need to read the roadmap if it's an NFT project and fully understand the market cap. So be detailed, check out our blog for the steps and do your own research.
Cool. I like that. Okay, next, floor price.
So floor price is the lowest price that NFT is available for on the marketplace.
Okay.
So whoever's selling it for the least amount, the least expensive NFT of a specific collection you can buy, that's the floor.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, and so sweeping the floor must be scooping up all the lowest things.
Yep, all the low price ones. You scoop them up and then you know, usually when you sweep the floor, you see one that's undervalued. So you sweep it up and often resell it at its appropriate value.
Ah, okay, cool. FUD.
FUD is fear and doubt. It really should be FAD, actually, when you think about it, but it's FUD.
Okay.
And it's basically when people are spooked. So when you see a big market correction, like what we're seeing right now, you know, there is some fear. Or I think it's fear, doubt, and uncertainty is the full thing. So when people are kind of panicking, when it's in a bear market, it's people have a lot of FUD. Okay. They're bugging out.
What is GWEI?
GWEI I think it's glee, but I've actually never said this verbally before. So okay. If it's not, sorry. But glee is, it's kind of like a Satoshi. So Satoshi is a small unit of Bitcoin. It's a fractional part of Bitcoin. Okay. So glee is a fractional part of Ethereum. So a lot of times when you see gas prices, they're going to show it to you in glee. I hope that's how you say it.
That's a YouTube after this.
Okay, mint is when you get an NFT.
Yeah, so it's when something new is created. Okay. So if you buy an NFT that's already on the secondary marketplace, like OpenSea or Coinbase NFTs, that's not minting, that's just purchasing it.
Okay.
But if you remember when we did like NFT affirmations, that buy, and we bought it right from their website, and then it was revealed to us, that's a mint.
Oh,
so that's a mint for NFTs. Mint for crypto is when a new block is created and a new token's created.
Okay.
So it's something new is being created.
Could we do a virtual workshop where you like show me, like we could run through how to buy an NFT?
Yeah.
Like we could share our screen and like do that.
I love that idea. And I think it could be a good supplement to like the new guidance coming out too, because it's one thing to read the steps. It's a different thing to see it done in person. So I think that's a great extension to like our learning there.
Okay, cool. And we can like just blur out my seed phrase.
Yeah, nobody will see your seed phrase. Okay. They can see our wallet addresses. That's not a big deal.
Okay.
But like your seed phrases are written on a piece of paper, and I hope you haven't lost them.
I haven't.
Okay,
I
good. Have.
Okay.
So nobody will see those.
Okay. That would be a fun workshop.
I think that's a great idea. I love it.
Okay, PFP. Oh, that's profile pic.
Yeah. So a lot of times referred to when you have your NFT pic or your NFT art used as your profile pic. It's actually like considered in poor taste to use an NFT you don't own as your profile pic.
Okay.
And it was so funny because I saw a tweet the other day and was like, I have this NFT, but I really like this number of the collection instead, but somebody else owns it. But like it looked like the woman who wanted to purchase it. So she's like, is it bad of me if I use that as my profile photo instead? Because I'm just vibing the art. And everybody was like, girl, yes. Like, don't. But like, I don't know, like I get it where it's just like, it's just art you think is good. And then you're just adding to the press and the marketing around it. Like you're supporting the project.
Yeah.
But also if somebody, I was using my like alpha girl as my profile pic. I don't have a personal Twitter. That's why I'm not. And then somebody else had my same profile pic and I was the owner. I'd be like, what are you doing? So I get it. I get both sides.
This next one is, with a rug pull.
A rug pull is when you invest in a project, you get an NFT, and essentially the founders and developers run away with all your money and they don't give you anything.
Oh.
So it's kind of like getting scammed. So, like essentially you invest in a project on good faith, or you mint an NFT on good faith and there's something behind it. Mm-hmm. And then once they get the funds, they just disappear. So it's like when you pull a rug out from somebody and they're like, whoa.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah, it's a bummer.
Okay, and this last one, WAGMI.
We're all going to make it.
Yes, and we are.
I love it. But also sometimes I think it's a little like toxic positivity because I see people on Twitter being like, I've lost all this money because they like pulled it out on a dip or something like that. Okay. And I'm like, I love the vibes behind we're all going to make it. But sometimes I'm like, you also have to invest smartly, just like any other market.
Yeah.
Like we're not all going to make it. But I really feel if people educate themselves in the space and they continue their education and keep growing, you will make it. So I like the sentiment. I think it's thrown around too much by some people who might not make it. They might not. But I want everybody to. And I think Web3 is once you educate it, once you get it, like it is really accessible to all. And I think it does provide a really democratized chance for a lot of people to make money.
Okay, so we're going to DYOR so that we can WAGMI.
Yeah, exactly.
Perhaps by sweeping the floor.
Maybe.
We're so degen.
Yeah. I I love it.
Speaking of education, we just had another blog post about 5 more free crypto resources to know.
I love these articles. These are like our favorite to write. And
just because there's so many free resources out there and like way to get knowledge. And
way to DYOR.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you haven't visited our first list, definitely check out our first list on our blog. And these are all tools that we use. So these have been vetted by the Crypto Witch Club team, and we're super excited to share them.
Yeah.
So the first one is the TLDR newsletter. Going back to the vocab, TLDR means too long, didn't read. And it is a long newsletter. And what it does, though, and why I love it, is it breaks down all the top news stories from that day in like Web3 and crypto. So it'll give you a
sort of like a skim of the crypto world.
Okay. Totally. So I'll give you like a few different stories to pick from. I'll give you a couple of sentences and then they'll link to read more.
Cool.
So we're obsessed. They have over 250,000 subscribers. They just know what's up.
Okay, next is the She White Papers podcast.
Yes. If you're an auditory learner, or if you are just a podcast person and you like to listen to something and learn while you're doing the dishes or just hanging out, She White Papers podcast is great because it's breaks down the white papers of a crypto project. So white papers are essentially the guide that lays out what the crypto project does, the utility, its goals. It's really the core research you need to do when investing in a new project. It comes right from the team. You can find most white papers on CoinMarketCap. There's links to them. But I just love what she does. She makes it really easy. You know, white papers tend to be a little heavy. So to be able to listen to it, is great. And I definitely suggest the V-Chain or the Polkadot episodes for sure.
Cool. And then next is Lolly.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So cool. I love this idea. And I'm just waiting to get it on my Android phone.
Yes. So you can actually install it to your Brave browser.
Oh, okay.
So So install the extension on your Brave browser, because I actually use it on my browser and not on my phone.
Oh, okay.
So essentially, Lolly is kind of like a Rakuten for Web3. So it rewards you in crypto by shopping at your favorite stores. So from Nike to Reformation, which I'm a really big fan of, I just bought a bunch of dresses for the summer. You can get up to like 10% back. Starbucks, I saw they added. Okay. So if you're somebody who, you know, gets your coffee at Starbucks all the time, why not get rewarded and get paid back in crypto? Because I'll be real, it's more than your credit card rewards.
Yeah.
And you can literally stack your credit card rewards and your Lolly rewards. So I love it.
Cool. Brave Browser. We love it.
We love Brave Browser. We've definitely talked about Brave Browser on this podcast before. If you haven't heard of it, check out our Instagram. We have a whole feature on it, but essentially this is the browser that pays you to use it. And it also allows creators to be paid by their audience through tips. So whether you're a creator or you're just on the internet, shopping, consuming content, reading blogs on Twitter, check out Brave Browser. Honestly, like we've both been using it for over 2 years, mm-hmm. both of us, and I like it better than Chrome. Sorry, Chrome. But I can't imagine using another browser.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, just the map features are better on Google, but that's it.
Yeah, I haven't noticed that. But
like Brave Browser doesn't have like a map.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. I see what you're saying. I never look at maps, which is why I'm always lost. So I've never noticed that. Last and final,
our free resources.
Woo! So we have 2 amazing guides and are totally free.
They're in our shop, 00.00money.
And we have 2 right now. We'll have a 3rd coming out later this summer. Right now we have our blockchain basics guide. This teaches you about the two major coins, by market cap, Bitcoin, Ethereum. It talks about how, what a crypto exchange is, what a crypto wallet is, the difference between proof of work and proof of stake, how people make money in crypto. It is just all the beginner tidbits you need to know. And then the second one is NFT for Witches, and it's just a beginner's guide to how to buy your first NFT, how to make an NFT, how to, like, what are gas fees? Every kind of NFT question you've been having, we answered in there. And we'll have our next super guide coming out soon too. So they'll be coming out later this month.
Yeah. And if you've already looked at our guides, leave us a little review on our website. We'd love that.
Yes, we would love reviews. If you learned something, if you love something, if there's something you want to see more of, let us know. I'm really excited to see how it goes with the next one.
Yeah, me too.
So that's what's up in the crypto space today.
Cool. I love it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Witch Club podcast. Subscribe and follow us online at Crypto Witch Club.